Deuteronomy chapter 5. So we are continuing to look at the Ten Commandments as we are working our way through the New City Catechism. Yes, exactly. That's easy for me to say, right? And tonight we are coming to question 10, which means we are halfway through section number 1. There are 20 questions in section number 1 dealing with God, creation, the fall, and the law. And so we are on question number 10, and we're dealing with the fourth and fifth commandment. And so our question tonight, pretty straightforward, as well as the answer, is what does God require in the fourth and fifth commandments? And the answer is God requires, fourth, that on the Sabbath day we spend time in worship of God, and fifth, that we love and honor our father and our mother. Now, tonight I'm only going to cover the fourth commandment. That is not because I think we need to skip over the fifth commandment, but if you are looking ahead in Ephesians, I will be covering this in the next several weeks in the book of Ephesians. So we've talked about wives submit. This Sunday we are talking about husbands love your wives. The following Sunday we are scheduled to ordain Ryan Renfro into ministry. The following week will be the 17th. That will be the Lord's Supper. And then the week after that, we will deal with children obey your parents. So that's kind of the schedule to come. Now, that's not set in stone, so don't come up to me some Sunday and say that's not what you said we were going to do on Wednesday night. That's not how it works. That's just my penciled-in plan, right? Okay? God has a way of changing things sometimes, and so that's fine. We're gonna follow Him. But we are just going to cover the fourth commandment. And by only covering the fourth commandment, that means I'm still not going to be able to exhaust all that is covered in this command. And this is one that is stretches really from Genesis to Revelation. We talk about biblical theology, and we see the themes of salvation, who God is, all He's done for us in Christ, running from creation all the way through Revelation. One of the ways you see that is through themes, and this is one of those. You see this idea of the Sabbath just running all throughout the Bible, and so it's going to be hard for me to exhaust this, but I'm going to do the best that I can and not leave you hanging with a whole bunch of questions. However, that's why you need to be writing them down. So if you have a question maybe about something I don't get to, application of this is probably how you're going to where you're going to have most of your questions. Write them down, email them to us, or write them down and put them in the offering bag or some text or something. Let us know, or just have them ready so that when we come to our Q&A time, we'll be able to cover that. All right, so Deuteronomy chapter 5, and let's look at verse 12. God says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And then verse 16, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So let's just remember that Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Because the children of Israel were disobedient, they were not able to go into the promised land. They wander around in the desert. All of the children have now grown up. They're headed back towards the promised land. Moses gives these speeches to them, reminding them of the covenant that they have with God. Part of that covenant and part of their side of the covenant is the keeping of the law. And so he is going to reiterate, here is the law. Here is what God expects of you. And so he says, observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy as God commanded. And then he reminds them what that means, and he gives us somewhat of a definition in that of the Sabbath. So look at verse 13 and 14 again. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant. And he goes through and he talks about anyone who is within your area connected with you. They are not to do any work. So as an agrarian society, it would be important that they work the ground and tend to their flocks if they're going to thrive as a nation and if they're going to just survive as a people. So if you know anything about farming or herding, then you know it's hard work, right? I have a small garden, a big backyard, and a dog, and that's way more than I even know what to do with, right? I'm constantly, why is my yard doing this? Why is it dead here? Why is it brown there? Why can't I grow anything but jalapenos in my garden? And so many that I got to give it away because I can't eat them all, right? And so you have to tend to a garden. You have to tend to your dog. My dog is like, ugh. He scratches the door when he wants to go out. He scratches the refrigerator when he wants water. He scratches his bowl when he wants food. Well, I'll go open the door and ask him if he wants to go outside. He won't go outside. I'll shut the door, go sit down and turn the TV on. He'll go scratch the door. I think he just knows, you know. And so I'll let him in. He's looking at me, and I'll go, okay, you're done. I'll go sit down. Now he's scratching the refrigerator because now he wants water. And so that's just my dog. And I can't imagine having hundreds of sheep or thousands of cattle or acres of grain that you've got to take care of. And so this isn't just, hey, this is cool because I have a garden so I can see if I grow anything. If it doesn't grow, you don't eat, and if you don't eat, you die. That's how it works. And you don't have clothes if the sheep don't produce wool, and you don't have meat if the goats don't continue to multiply. I mean, all of this stuff that they're doing is, I think we get this idea that those in the Old Testament kind of like went out in the morning and, you know, met with God and went out to their herds and said, y'all go, you know, eat grass. And then for the rest of the day, they just sort of stared up in the sky as the cool breeze, you know, blew on the hill, and they just did it all again tomorrow. That's not how it was. These people worked hard. And think about the stress that's on them and the burden that's on them that you can feel, because your family doesn't eat if you don't do the work, and if you doing the work doesn't produce the fruit. And so as a nation, this is what they did. They had herds and flocks, and they were going to have fields, and they were going to have to take care of these fields. And in order for those things to take place, they were going to have to work from sun up to sun down. So if it didn't get done, they couldn't like go plug in the outside lights and finish it. It was just not getting done that day. So they would work hard. God says to them, listen, that's good. You can work from sun up and you can work from sun down. And you can do that for 6 days, but the seventh day is to be set apart from the others specifically by not working. That is how you set it apart. You do not go out into the field. You do not go out to your herds. You do not even go and pick up sticks for the fire. You need to do all that beforehand. You need to prepare that. Now, the word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word which means cease or desist. And so Sabbath, on the Sabbath, they were to cease their work. They were not to work from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. Now look, work isn't the problem. God isn't saying there's something wrong with work. Work is not part of the curse. God commanded Adam in the garden that you are to work the ground so that it would be fruitful and it would multiply. It's the sweat of the brow and the thorns and the thistles that are part of the curse. It's a pain to work. So God isn't saying you need to take rest because work is bad. As a matter of fact, all throughout the Bible, you see how laziness is wickedness. The Bible even says that. So if you're lazy and you don't work, you're not Sabbathing. That's not the point. You are to work hard and you are to set your mind and your hands to the task. That is glorious before God. And it is, you do your work as unto the Lord, and it's a means of worship. So the issue is not work. That's good. So then why would God command a day of no work, to cease, to desist? Well, remember when we said that a good God gives good commands for our good and His glory. These aren't just rules that God set up to make our lives miserable. They're laws that He has given us. All His laws, all His commands, all His statutes are given to us for our good. They're for our benefit. And so it's no different here. God commands the people to not work as a good gift to them. This is an opportunity for them to trust in the Lord for their good. And there are several reasons we see throughout the Bible. And so why is it that God commands the Sabbath? How is it good for us? And tonight I want to cover these because one of the things I want us to see and put back, I hope, if you aren't doing this, at the top of your list of things that are important is this idea of Sabbath. And we want to have a biblical idea of Sabbath. And I'm not going to be able to unpack all of this to your full understanding. So some of this you're just going to have to trust me. You're going to read and study on your own. But we have got to realize this idea of Sabbath is important. Okay? And I want us to see how it's important in our physical, to our physical and spiritual well-being, and how this command points us to Christ and the hope that is found in Christ. This idea of Sabbath is pointing us to Christ and the importance of His work on the cross. So that means we have to hurry. So why was the Sabbath important? I'll give you three tonight. The Sabbath was given first for physical, intellectual, and spiritual refreshing. Okay, all ours tonight. But the Sabbath was given for physical, intellectual, and spiritual refreshing. Okay, you don't have to turn. You can if you want to. But in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, it says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." He made it a day that is set apart for Himself. In Exodus 31, 16 and 17, it says this, talking again about the Sabbath, and basically before these verses that I'm reading are basically the same verses here. You shall not work on the Sabbath, and your slave shouldn't work, and your sojourner shouldn't work. Okay, so I'm giving you a little bit of context. He says, "Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth," watch out, "and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." What? That God rested and was refreshed. How interesting that the creation of all things by God and His rest is pointed to, is directed to, as the reason for our rest, for this day of Sabbath, for this idea of resting. And I don't have time to explain all that goes into verse 17 of Exodus 31, but don't miss the fact that it said God was refreshed. Now that doesn't mean God, by speaking all things into existence, was in any way depleted of His power or His energy, or He needed to juice up, He needed a monster before He continued on His day. That can't be. Why? Because God is infinite in power, which means His power never runs out. It's unlimited. He never changes, which means His power doesn't decrease. Right? So you have a battery, it decreases. That means that battery has changed in some way. That's not how that works. God is always, He's consistent, He's constant, He's always the same, and His power is infinite. So it never depletes and it never runs out. So it can't mean that He needed to recharge. But what we need to understand here is that God is setting the example for us to set aside time for the specific purpose of refreshing. For the specific purpose of re-energizing and refreshing. And what we see is that we're encouraged by God to trust Him to take time to refresh. And so the element of faith is highlighted here in this sense of doing what God has told you to do in refreshing. What did God do on the seventh day? He demonstrated when He rested that all the work of creation had been done. Now think about this. I believe, and I think it's biblical, that these are 7 days. These are not 1 day equals a billion years, right? That's not what I see in the Bible. We can debate that later. I think these are 7 days. God spoke into existence all things in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He did not. He sat down, and He did nothing. What He's saying is that all was as it should be. It was all working as He intended, and there's no need for going back and tweaking anything or tampering with something to make it better. So think about what God is saying in His rested. He goes, I am certain and sure that by My wisdom and power, all that needed to be done was done, that nothing else needs to be done. That's what He says when He rests on the seventh. There's nothing that needs to be changed. I don't have to tweak the molecules so they don't fly apart. I don't have to get the sun a little bit closer because it didn't quite work out. I don't have to expand the universe because it's not quite big enough. I don't need to put another star over here so that Orion's belt is complete. Everything was as it should have been and was supposed to be by the speaking, the very word of God and His power and His wisdom. And so when He rests, He is just glorifying Himself in the sense by saying, there's no reason to go back. All the work has been done. There's nothing else to do. It's complete. It's done. I've done it all. And so, that is exactly what's going on with the Sabbath for us and for His people. I mean, if God has the wisdom and the power to bring all things into existence in 6 days to such perfection that He can cease from His work for a whole day without worry or anxiousness as to whether things are going to work as they should or they're going to hold together, then certainly we can put our faith in that same God that our little world that He is sovereign over can be held together by Him. Did you get the connection? If God can speak all things into existence, I mean the whole universe and everything in it, such that He can, to such perfection that He can sit down on the seventh day and not worry about anything, why do you think that He cannot do that for your teeny tiny little world that you think you have to have your hands on all the time or it's going to fall apart? I mean, you do realize that your world does not stay together because of you. You can have your hands on all you want to in your world and God just snaps His finger and it all goes poof, and it no longer exists. It has nothing to do with you. But that's the point. Because here's what we do. We get our hands to the plow. We put our mind to work and we're working and we get to a point where we begin to believe that it's all about me. If I don't go tend to the sheep, they're all going to die. If I don't take care of the grain, it's going to die. If I don't take care of that account, if I don't make that phone call, if I don't answer that email, if I don't do whatever it is that needs to be done, it's all going to fall apart. You know what you're saying? God, You're not in control. I'm in control. And if I let go for even 24 hours, it's all just going to spin apart. And so God says, listen, I want you to set aside a day and do nothing because in doing nothing, what you're saying is, I trust that you're in control and that you're going to keep your side of the covenant. Well, what did God promise them in the covenant? He said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you houses that you don't even have to build. I'm going to give you crops that you aren't even plowing and planting. All of that was a promise. And so to say, I've got to keep my hand on the plow 7 days a week is to say, God, you're not going to keep your end of the covenant. You're not trusting in God's promises. And so Israel was to demonstrate their faith in God by entrusting their labor and toil and 6 days of work into the hands of God for 24 hours. To just let go and give it to Him and trust that it will take care, that He will take care of it. And so God sets the example for this of resting and refreshing. They were to follow His example and find refreshing in their physical bodies, in their mind, and in their spirit. To say, I'm going to just rest and let my body take a break. And let my mind take a break. But also be refreshed spiritually. And that brings us to number two. The Sabbath was given for revering God. Not just for refreshing, but for revering. Look at Exodus 20, 12. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Why? For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy, set apart for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Listen, the day of rest was not just a veg-out day. It was not 24 hours of Netflix binging on whatever the next series is that, you know, where your mind just disengages from all things and is put on something that is like nothing. Now look, just let me tell you up front, there's nothing wrong with vegging, there's nothing wrong with watching TV, going to a movie, right? But we think that that's what this is about. I've just got to cut out everything. And part of that is because we work so stinking hard and put so much stress on us during the week, we think our escape from all of that is in secular things. Now, those things aren't wrong in and of themselves, but be careful because that is not where you find your rest. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about resting in God. A day to remind the people that God had set them apart from all other nations and made a covenant with them. So what did God again say He would do for His people? He's going to fight for them, protect them, provide for them. He's going to make them a great nation. Here God is saying, listen, that's my part of the covenant. What's your part? Your part is to trust me to do what I said I would do for you to set my nation apart. So how do they know that God was the set-apart nation? How do you tell everybody that God is that has set you apart? Well, you proclaim that by saying, I don't have to work for a full 24 hours because my God's got it. And so instead of working for 24 hours, I'm going to take that 24 hours and I'm going to revere Him. I'm going to set my mind on Him. I'm going to worship Him. And so what does happen? God says, if you'll do that, then I'll continue to bless you. So that in setting apart a day of Sabbath, what you're saying is God has set us apart as His people, and so we are taking this day to revere Him. The sheep can take care of themselves. The cattle take care of themselves. The grain, the olives, all of that, the dates, they'll take care of themselves. God's got that. We trust Him. Listen, world, nations, you toil and you tarry and you have your hand to the plow all the time thinking that you can do something about your world and about controlling your life. I'm telling you, that is not how it goes. God is in control. He gives us work so that we work unto Him. But I'm going to prove to you that He is in control because I'm going to take 24 hours and I'm going to take my hands off everything and I'm going to revere Him. I'm going to worship God. So they were saying our success is not up to us, but up to the one who set us apart by his own hand and power. He sanctified us. That's why it's taken so seriously. Don't miss that this is a capital offense. Matter of fact, if you go to Exodus, they catch some guy on the Sabbath and he's collecting sticks. And the people find him and they bring him back to Moses. And they say, we found this guy collecting sticks. And the word of God says they sort of set him aside because they didn't know what to do with him. We don't know what to do. And Moses goes to God and God says, stone him. And so they take him outside of the camp and all of Israel pick up stones and they kill him because he's working on the Sabbath. Why? Because what he was saying is God is not trustworthy. Listen, other nations, we have to do it ourselves. God has set us apart, but that doesn't mean anything more than the false gods that you worship. That's what he was saying. That's why this is so serious. Keeping the Sabbath, the nation of Israel was indicating they were by faith partaking in the covenant that God made with them. It was their expression of, I partake in this covenant. I am trusting in God. Now, the other side of the coin from not working to revere God was worshiping. So they were to set aside the time not just to sit there, but as faith in God, they would that all would be well with their crops and herds so that by faith they could come together and worship God for taking care of them. Think about it. Thank you, God, for what you have done, and thank you that on today we are not working, we are trusting that you're going to take care of everything. So it was praise, it was worship, it was adoration, it was reverence for God and all that he had done, all that he's doing, and all that he would do because he had promised to do it. So we leave our work and we step into a time of corporate reverence, revering, worship of God. They encouraged one another to love God and love others. They encouraged one another to live out the commands. They got together to thank God for all who he was and what he had done. They got together to take 24 hours, a time where they would put the focus on him without the distraction of the everyday business of life. Now, every day, even your work, everything you do should be to the Lord. You should be thinking about him. You should be focusing on him, trying to glorify him. But there's one day where you do that without the distraction of everything else. Without the distraction of the world coming in, without all of those things trying to clamor for your time, clamor for your attention, you say, no, this is the day that we've set aside as to be unto the Lord so that I can focus on him. And that brings us now to number three. The Sabbath was given for remembering salvation. It was given for refreshing, for revering God, for remembering our salvation. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 5, look at verse 15. God says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you keep the Sabbath day. God tells Moses to point not just to the creation, but to salvation, the Exodus. And you may think those are separate. So, okay, that's great. We think about creation and we think about salvation. They're not. They're not. They're linked. Salvation is the recreation of the soul. So we talk about this a lot. The Exodus reminded the people that God created them as a nation out of nothing and transferred them from slavery to freedom. They were to celebrate that act of God in conjunction with creation because they both reminded the people of how God was capable to do what he promised in the covenant. And so this Exodus is pointing to a spiritual creation of God in us through Christ, freeing us from slavery to sin to the freedom to live in accordance with God's commands. And so there's this connection. You see that theme in creation. And so we talk about in, Corinthians, the one who said, "Let there be light," speaks the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hearts of those that are blinded by Satan. There's that creation theme pointing to a spiritual creation, and this slavery, this exodus, this salvation that comes out of the exodus, pointing to our need to be freed from the bonds of slavery and enabled to live righteously, to be able to obey the law. And so the death and resurrection of Christ is the event that brought about our freedom. So what does God constantly say to Israel? Look back to the Exodus. Remember what I did there in saving you. And so what are we to do? We look constantly back to the cross and the resurrection, because that's where Christ did the work of salvation and ascended to the right hand of the Father and sat down. Why? Because the work was done. And so what do you see in the New Testament? They aren't worshiping or observing the Sabbath on Saturday. They're observing the Sabbath on Sunday, which is Resurrection Day. That's the day when you were freed from your sins, when you put your faith and trust in the resurrection of Christ to accomplish the work that you could not accomplish. So He did all the work, and now there is a full spiritual rest. It's not just a physical rest, but there's a full spiritual rest. Exodus 31:16 says this. Oh, we read it, but therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant. When does it stop? When does the covenant end? It never ends. And so if this is observing the Sabbath is as a covenant forever, it's they're part of this participation in the covenant. When are we going to stop observing the Sabbath? Never. Well, how in the world does that work? It's an indication that the resting in God was not something that was going to go away. Resting in God and resting in God's faithfulness and resting in God's work will never go away for those in Israel who actually put their faith in God and for New Testament Christians who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says this, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his." What is he talking about? It is in Christ's work on the cross that we find rest from our laboring to keep the law and find salvation. What do we clamor for? I've got to please God. I've got to do work. And God is saying, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And so what do we have to do? We come to Christ, and what work do we do? Nothing. You are not saved by works, but you are saved by grace through faith, because Christ has already done the work. The work has been accomplished. And so, for whoever has entered God's rest, that's you through Christ, rested from his works. You know what? You don't have to work for salvation anymore. Now, you weren't working for salvation. You thought you were. You thought you were pleasing God. But you don't have to worry about that anymore. You know why? You can rest in the work of Christ. Stop trying to go before God and show Him all the things that you have done to earn His favor. That's not resting in Christ. Resting in Christ is understanding that even when I sin, there is forgiveness available to me, and I will rest in that forgiveness by asking for forgiveness and moving as though I have been forgiven because I trust in that. Resting in God is doing work out of the power of the Spirit and the gifts that He's given you, in the place that He's given you, and knowing that it is pleasing to God because it's not working your way unto God. You are doing it because of what Christ has done on the cross, and you rest in that. Come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus says. I'll give you rest. The ultimate Sabbath that lasts forever. Forever. That's why he says this covenant is forever. an eternity of refreshing and revering and remembering as we, with bodies that will not grow old, minds that will not grow dim, stand in the very presence of the one who is seated on the throne because the work of salvation is complete, will revere and worship the Creator and Savior, the Lord God Almighty. And we will eternally be in a state of Sabbath forever and ever and ever and ever. So quickly, how does this apply? And I mean real quickly. Set in your life patterns of refreshing. I'm just going to read it because if I don't read it, I'm going to get off on other things and we're going to be here all night. Listen, it is unscriptural to work 7 days a week without rest to refresh body, mind, and spirit. It is unscriptural. So set aside specific times for refreshing. A good rule of thumb, if you work with your body, rest with your mind. If you work with your mind, rest with your body. I sit at my desk and my computer all day. So my rest, part of my rest is mowing my yard. And you say, well, that's labor, that's work. That's not what he's talking about there. He means work, earning a money, earning a living. And so I go out and I mow the grass and I look back, I've accomplished something. I can actually see it. It's one of the things about ministry. You work in your labor, and there's sometimes not a lot of evident fruit. It's underneath. It's spiritual. It's those things. That gets very discouraging. God encourages me as I'm out working in the yard. It actually gets my body rest because I'm doing activity that's good for my body and sweating. I'm out there, and my mind can expand and be free a little bit because I'm not in my little cubicle. I mean, all of that is part of the refreshing of the mind, the body, and the spirit. You have to set aside the time. You have to be intentional. You can't say, oh, well, there's just too much going on. You've got to turn the phone off. You've got to turn some things off. You've got to be intentional about the resting and the refreshing. Set aside time for revering God. Listen, worshiping Him without the distraction of your labor. Setting aside time for corporate worship with others, a time to reflect on who God is and all He has done for you in Christ. Listen, do you have a day that you do these specific things? That you have set aside for worship, that you say, this is God's time to focus on Him. It doesn't mean that nobody else can be around you. That's what we do, corporate worship on Sunday. For some, it's Wednesday. For others, it may be another day. So I don't have the time to get in the minutiae of what all this looks like. So let me just encourage you to go to Romans 14. Paul is talking about some see one day as important, some see all days as important. There's passages in the New Testament where Jesus talks about healing on the Sabbath and the Sabbath being given for man, not created, man created for the Sabbath. All of those, you need to read those because it's not so much about a day and a time as much as this sense of Sabbath. I'm not saying that Sunday isn't important. Don't hear that. Okay, but let's don't go so legalistic that we say, if you are not here on Sunday, then you cannot be Sabbathing and all of that stuff, okay? The principles, though, are not debatable. You are commanded to rest. You're commanded to use that not just to veg and be lazy, but refreshing and turning your affections towards God. You cannot not do that. You're commanded to worship corporately all throughout the Bible and to set aside a day that is holy unto the Lord. I think it's important that you do it on Sunday. Why? Because that is the day of resurrection. I think we are saying something to the world when we say, I am coming together, setting aside the day of resurrection as being that's the day that's important. I take that to mean not just adding on a worship service to an otherwise normal day. It's not working for 12 hours on Sunday and watching a video at the end. We're talking about setting aside specifically that time. All right, so you're commanded to remember your salvation in Christ and to celebrate it. So examine your life and make the necessary changes. Last, I'm going to end with this. I will tell you that this has been a convicting study for me. So I'm going to have, and will continue to, repent, and I'm going to have to make some specific application and change in my own life. And you say, you're here every Sunday. If that's what you're saying, you've missed the point. All right, ask your questions. All right, it's not about that one like day where it's set aside for, you know, because that's what they say. Now listen, you get into this debate of is it Saturday, is it Sunday? I mean, I'm very law oriented, right? And so I lean towards if you're not here on Sunday, you can't have worship. That's starting to be legalistic. But is there a time during your week where you're saying this is the time that I've set aside to refresh, set aside a time to revere God, and set aside a time to worship Him. Well, but I can't. The baseball team doesn't let, or the work doesn't let, or the whatever doesn't let. Get your hands off your world. Find a time. Find a time where you can do that. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your love, that you gifted us with a Sabbath day. We pray that you would move in a mighty way in our hearts and in our lives as we, by faith, set aside time give it to you for your glory, to revere you, to refresh, to be renewed by you and by your Spirit. And we pray that you would help us to have wisdom in how that works out in all our lives. Many different circumstances, even in this room. And so, Father, just give wisdom to know what that means in our context. And so we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.